بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 29th of March in the year 2024 and alhamdulillah we're beginning the 9th week the 57th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the illustrious companion Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. And yesterday I spent the session describing the year of Ash, i.e. 18 AH, in which Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu went through severe hardships so he could feel what the people were feeling. And then I mentioned eventually the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came. So here Hafiz ibn Kathir, he said rahmatullah alayh, in Al-Bidayah, volume 7, page 57, despite the fact that the rain fell profusely when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain, he still sought the governor's aid because the people were in dire need of food and provisions. They could not wait any longer, especially when it would take the land a long time to produce crops. So this is an important clarification. The rain came. So why was Umar radiallahu anhu, as I'll mention, seeking the help from the various governors in the Islamic lands? Because it takes time for crops to grow. Immediate help was needed. So in Tabari in his Tarikh, volume 4, page 100, it mentions, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he wrote to Sayyidina Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu in Basra, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu in Egypt, and Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu in Ash-Sham, appealing for help. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was thus the first to personally arrive with 4,000 camels carrying food supplies. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, upon seeing his dear brother, ordered him to distribute it without delay amongst those living outside of Al-Madinah. So here it mentions names. So he's wrote a letter to the governor of Basra, Abu Musa al-Ashri radiallahu anhu, the governor of Egypt, Sayyidina Amr, which I'll mention, and Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah in Sham. And who was the first to arrive? It was the Amin of this Ummah, Abu Ubaidah. He personally came, think about that, with 4,000 camels, and Umar said, distributed quickly amongst the people in the outlying lands of Al-Madinah. In another report, in Bayhaqi, in his Sunan Al-Kubra, 6-355, Hakim in his Mustadrak, 12-405, Ibn Khuzaymah, Sahih, number 2367, or 4-68, Kanz al-Umal, number 35,889, or 12-609-10, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 154 of the New English Translation. Al-Layth ibn Sa'd and Aslam, rahimahumallah, they're both related. During the Khalifat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the people faced a severe famine in the year of Ramadan. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu wrote to Amr ibn al-As in Egypt, and the letter read, from the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar to al-As ibn al-As. Now what did he mean by that? So he said, from myself the servant of Allah to the disobedient son of the disobedient. That's the literal translation. Al-Asi ibn al-Asi. So he did a play on words of his name. He goes, to the disobedient, son of the disobedient. Then he said, O Amr, radiallahu, by my life, whilst you and those living with you are filling your stomachs, you are still careless about your family members and those living with me. Who is there then to help them? Who is there then to help them? Who is there then to help them? When Amr received the letter, he immediately wrote back, this letter is from Amr ibn al-As, to the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar, Labbaik, I am at your service. I have sent such a caravan that its front will reach you and its end will remain here. And may my salutations be upon you and his mercy and blessings. Indeed, this occurred. The first camel reached Al-Madinah and yet the last camel was still in Egypt. Umar radiallahu anhu gave each and every household a camel full of food and said, eat the food, slaughter the camels, eat its meat, eat the fat, make shoes out of the leather, make a shawl from the material in which the food came. In this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieved the Muslims. And Umar radiallahu anhu thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. So this is a sahih hadith in Bayhaqi Hakim ibn Khuzaymah Qanzul Umar. So look how interesting. He wrote a letter. Why was he harsh with others? Because he liked a comfortable life. And the Prophet obviously told him that good wealth is good for the pious person. But Umar was now saying, you're filling your stomach. You're careless about your own family. Because who is there to help? And look how touching. Umar didn't even respond to the jab. He didn't say, why did you call me the disobedient? Asi ibn al-Asi. He said, I'm at your service. And he said something amazing. He goes, when this letter reaches you, the front part of the caravan will be with you. And the last part will be with me. So how long was this trail of camels? All the way from Egypt to Medina. And he kept his word. And then immediately Umar started saying, slaughter the camels, eat the food, make use of everything. And Allah Ta'ala obviously help came. So this is why it's important to explain. Why is he asking? Because the rain has come, but the crops haven't grown. It'll take a while. So he's sending, asking the governors to help. But now there's a problem here. Hafiz ibn Kathir, he said, rahmatullahi, in Al-Bidayah, volume 7, page 90, mentioning Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu in the famine year is problematic. For Egypt was not opened in 18 AH. It was opened in the year 20 AH, according to most historians. Thus, maybe the famine occurred later than 18 AH. So these were the scholars are there for. Egypt hadn't been opened. So how could he be the governor of Egypt? And how is he sending all this? So Ibn Kathir said, this is strange. So the only way to explain this is, maybe the famine was not in 18 AH, it was in 20 AH. Because Amr was already in Egypt. But then he goes, Allah Ta'ala knows best. Any researcher going through the great events of that critical period would be overwhelmed by the extraordinary compassion of the Venerable Khalif. Indeed, this magnificent man was unshakable like a towering mountain. He cared for his subjects just like a compassionate father would his children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him most handsomely for all his remarkable efforts and forgive us all for his honorable sake. Ameen. So not Umar, he was feeling the most because he was the leader, he had to feel the most. And he was rebuking the governors. And they were helping, they were sending the aid as quickly as possible. And this shows that the year of Ash was in the Hijaz. Because what, if they were suffering, then how are they sending, you know, foodstuff and things like this? So it was all in the Hijaz taking place. So that was in 18 AH. If that wasn't enough, something else happened in 18 AH. The devastating plague of Amwas, 18 AH. If the famine was not enough of a test which lasted 9 months, they then broke out the famous plague of Amwas, first in Palestine, which took the lives of tens of thousands of Muslims, including many of the majestic companions. Radiallahu ta'ala. How many? In Ibn Asakir, Qanzul Umal, volume 2, page 324, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 497-9 of the New English Translation, it mentions 30,000 Muslims succumbed to the plague before it lifted. So think about that. In the battlefields, Muslims were martyred. Sahaba were also martyred. But they were 800,000 here and there. The plague took 30,000 Muslims. Right? So that is how devastating the plague was. It was in the same year as the famine. As mentioned, it was here that many of the elite companions left the troubles of the world. So which great companions were martyred by the plague? All of the generals. So who have I been mentioning again and again? Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Shurahbil ibn Hasana, Yazid ibn Abu Sufyan, all martyred by the plague. Mu'ad ibn Jabal, Fadl ibn Abbas, Suhail ibn Amr, Abu Jandal ibn Suhail, Hadith ibn Hisham, and the list goes on. Radiallahu ta'ala. So if you don't know who they are, go and read Bino. These were all the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? What happened to them? The plague came. Allah ta'ala took them all. So what happened? In Hakim in his Mustadrak, volume 3, page 264, Sahih, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 98 to 100 of the New English Translation, Abu Sa'id al-Makbari, rahmatullah alayhi, he reads, when Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, radiyallahu anhu, contracted the plague, he instructed Mu'ad ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu, to lead the Salat, which he did. The people then gathered together, and the august bier of Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu anhu was taken to the plain where Mu'ad led the funeral prayer. When the blessed body was brought to the grave, Mu'ad, Amr ibn al-As, Dahak ibn Qais radiyallahu ta'ala anhum entered the grave to lay the blessed body to rest. So here again the name of Amr is mentioned. Think about the honor that Allah gave. Who laid this man of paradise to rest? One of the three was Amr ibn al-As. So that isn't a normal honor, that's an extraordinary honor. And the others was of course Mu'ad ibn Jabal and Dahak ibn Qais. So Abu Ubaidah, he was struck and he told Mu'ad to take over the reins of authority. Alas, Sayyidina Mu'ad ibn Jabal soon thereafter contracted the plague. It is mentioned, when the pangs of death struck him, they struck him more severely than any other person. Each time he regained consciousness from his coma, he opened his eyes and he said, oh my Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you may strangle me as often as you please, because I swear by your honor that you know how much my heart loves you. Subhanallah. This is in Ahmad Hakim in his Mustadrak, volume 1, page 276. Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawa'id, volume 2, page 311, stated Sahih. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 142 of the New English Translation. So he's severely affected by the plague. He's in and out. They thought he died. He comes back around again. They thought he died. He comes back around. And every time he comes back from his coma, he's thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes, strangle me, do whatever you want. He goes, you know how much I love you. Now why did he say that? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the believer, even his soul leaves, he's praising me. He's not complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So think about that. He's dying and he's saying, Alhamdulillah, shukr alhamdulillah. He goes, you know this, I know this is for my own benefit. The mountain of a man shortly thereafter also passed away to eternal glory. So now what happened? Just prior to the death of these two mountains, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he tried his utmost in particular to try and save both these noble souls. For he believed they would be the ideal successors after him. I to look after the affairs of the believers. So Umar was thinking, he had a plan. And he thought Abu Ubaidah will succeed me, the Amir of the Ummah, if not Mu'ad. So what did he do? In Ahmad in his Musnad, number 108, Hassan Lighayr, Shurayh ibn Ubaid, Rashid ibn Sa'd and others, rahimahumullah, they all relate. When Umar ibn al-Khattab reached Sarh, he was told there was a widespread plague in Sham. He thereupon said, I have been informed a widespread plague has broke out in Sham. Then he paused. He then said, if my time arrives, I pass away, and Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah is alive, I now appoint him my successor. Then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks me why I appointed him as my successor to lead the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will say, oh my Lord, I have heard your messenger say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ لِقُلِّ نَبِيٍّ أَمِينًا وَأَمِينِي أَبُوْ أُبَيْدَةَ بْنُ الْجَرَّاحِ. Verily every prophet has an utterly trustworthy confidant, and my utterly trustworthy confidant is Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. The people thereupon objected to this and said, what about the prominent figures of the Quraysh, meaning Banu Fihr? He ignored their request. He reiterated and added, if my time comes and Abu Ubaidah also passes away, then I appoint Mu'adh ibn Jabal as my successor. And if my Lord asks me why I appointed him as my successor, I will say, oh my Lord, I have heard your messenger say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innahu yuhsharu yawmul qiyamati bayna yadayil ulama'i mabda. Nabda. Verily he will be gathered on the day of resurrection as a leader of scholars. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So this is an authentic report in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, number 108. So what is he clearly planning? He's trying to save them. So he goes, there's only three possibilities. I die. If I die, I now appoint Abu Ubaidah. If Abu Ubaidah is martyred by the plague, I will then appoint Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Now what's interesting about that? He wasn't from the Quraysh. He wasn't from the Quraysh. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Authority rests with the Quraysh. So the scholars look at this and they say that indicates, Umar's indication shows that this doesn't mean they have an automatic right. If there's somebody more worthy, he goes, they should be given to him. But of course, because of the honor that they're from the tribe of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you should consider them first. But Umar goes, Mu'adh. And that was interesting. When he said, I will appoint Abu Ubaidah, people objected. And what did they say? What about the prominent figures of the Quraysh, meaning the more prominent tribes? He just ignored it. And he goes, if my time comes, Abu Ubaidah's time comes, I appoint Mu'adh, and I'll tell you why. Because I will say to my Lord, I heard your Rasul say, إِنَّهُ يُحْشَرُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ الْعُلَمَاءِ نَبْذَ. Verily, he will be gathered on the day of resurrection as a leader of the scholars. Because he's more than worthy. So now, why is that fascinating? This is probably why they were martyred. You know, when the plague comes, you think it's just happening haphazard. Nothing's haphazard. Allah Ta'ala decrees for people to leave the world. So who did he decree? The Amin to leave of the Ummah? The one who will be ahead of the scholars on the day? Why? Because Umar was thinking of them. And he was trying, but Allah Ta'ala was decreeing something else. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was another name mentioned to finish. In Ahmad in his Musnad, number 129, however, it is da'if due to Ali ibn Zayd ibn Jud'an in his chain. So this hadith has a weakness. Doesn't mean it's fabricated. It means there's a person in the chain, he's been talked about. But Imam Ahmad recorded it. Amir al-Mu'mineen, in a similar report, Sa'id ibn Zayd, one of the Ten Promised Paradise, he said, radiyallahu, why don't you suggest a man amongst the Muslims so that people may follow your advice? Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu did that, and the people followed his advice and trusted him. Umar radiyallahu anhu replied, I have noticed too much greed and ambition. Thus I will leave this matter to be decided by these six gentlemen with whom Rasulullah was pleased when he passed away. But Umar thereupon said, if one of the following two men were alive, I would have referred this matter to them and I would have trusted them. Salim Mawla Abu Hudayfa and Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. Another very interesting report. So his brother-in-law, one of the Ten Promised Paradise, Sa'id ibn Zayd radiyallahu anhu, he goes, follow Abu Bakr's sunnah. He goes, He took advice and he made a decision. So Umar said something very interesting. He goes, I have noticed too much greed and ambition. Meaning, how can a person become a ruler when he's got a desire? That means that Allah's help is not going to be with him. Then he said, six, and we know the famous hadith, he goes, they will decide amongst each other. But then he added something. I wouldn't have done that, in other words, I wouldn't have got the six to decide amongst themselves if these two men were alive. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah and Salim Mawla Abu Hudayfa. So who's Salim Mawla Abu Hudayfa? Again, Joe Bloggs, people aren't studying. He must have a very high maqam. He's one of the earliest companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he didn't say they'll become the Khalif. He says, I would have referred the matter to them and I would have trusted their decision. Your two decide. Now what's interesting about that? Abu Ubaidah would never have appointed himself, nor would Salim. But Umar was highlighting, this is why I'm asking these two, but they both, one's been martyred by the plague, one was martyred in the Battle of Yamama. And inshallah, we will continue from here tomorrow. So all I mentioned today was, or tonight, was Umar radiallahu anhu sending an urgent message to the governors, and he was harsh with Amr ibn al-As, but Amr didn't mind radiallahu anhu. And notice the help they personally came, like Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. And then I mentioned that if that wasn't all, in the same year there was the devastating plague of Ambas, which erupted in Palestine and spread. And many of the elite companions, all of the generals, were martyred by the plague, barring one. And that one I know, you think you know who he is, but we'll mention it tomorrow, inshallah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الى الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات تواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله